Welcome back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now time to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemy. Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
Joining us now, DJ Bienemy in studio. Covers the Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You can follow him on Twitter, at DJ Bienemy. DJ, I was watching the Vikings game live. I'm like, this is happening exactly how DJ said this was going to happen. Like, you nailed that game script. Now, unfortunately for the Texans, they lost by 27, but you kind of saw that coming.
Nah, not in that big of a blowout fashion, but yeah, them losing, yeah, mainly because, you know, that defense was going to get some issues. They jumped out on them early. It's going to be hard to come back against that defense on the road with that environment, that crowd. Like that's a real home field advantage. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I'm not, you know, no shade to Texans fans. I think they're getting there, but there's levels. And I think, you know, that level was something that I couldn't hear myself think at times, you know? So, playing against that defense, playing, you know, CJ going first time going against that Brian Flores scheme, no Joe Mixon, not being around the ball, it was just a combination of bad things that, you know, was going to happen.
Well, and your boy Sam played out of his mind again. I mean, because you told us, you know, at some point, he's going to melt down. And
yeah,
it hasn't come to that yet. The slipper's still on.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's week three. That was week three, and he's usually good for about 3 weeks. He can go back to playing like trash.
Let's hope he craps the bed in Green Bay.
Yeah. I think against Green Bay, he'll go back to playing like crap.
So you look at that. We've heard all the takeaways. You went from a Sam Darnold quarterback game. Now we're going to a Jacksonville team that seems like Trevor Lawrence is in disarray.
Right.
Is there any reason to believe that there's going to be a whole lot of fight in that cat in this case instead of a dog, and they're going to come out and they're going to really show that they're a different team? Or are we to expect that this is where the Texans get right?
I think the Jags are going to come out fighting. I mean, most teams that get blown out and embarrassed, especially on national TV, they usually show a lot more fight that next game. I mean, obviously, the Texans got embarrassed, too. But the Jags, I mean, before week three, and they just ran into a bust. I like, Buffalo's one of those teams that when everything's rolling, nobody can beat them. Like, it's been like for some years. But, you know, they're never like that in the playoffs. But there's moments where they're rolling, and there's nothing. There's literally nothing you can do. And it happens. And they're one of those teams that got caught in that buzzsaw. But week one, week two, the Jaguars are very competitive. Obviously, the Miami game, Travis Etienne doesn't fumble that pass, I mean, that carry in the end zone, is probably a completely different game. Then the Browns game was kind of back and forth. I mean, obviously, they had a shot to try to tie it at the end. They couldn't get in the end zone, led to a Hail Mary. But, I mean, I think it's going to be a tough game, mainly because where they are, their strongest suit on defense is right now the Texans' weakest point, which is their D-line versus the Texans' O-line. Especially on the interior, the Texans' interior O-line is still developing, still trying to get right. So I think that this week, I still think Texas will win, but I don't think it's going to be a blowout. If they can't run the ball and they're facing a bunch of third and sevens and longer, then, you know, the Texans are going to be scrapping just to get past 21 points.
DJ, you triggered me earlier today when you said football to defend the Tank Dell injury. I am not a fan of playing, as you know, of playing starters whenever you're down by 27 with minutes left to play. Minnesota didn't do it. We see it in football. If you look at cross-sport references, you know, NBA garbage time, best players out. You look at baseball, don't use leverage guys. Don't use their best players down late. Why do we use football as kind of the word to defend some questionable decisions of when to leave starters in and out of the game?
I mean, again, like, if D'Amico knew the Tank might have gotten or dinged up, if he would have left him in, he probably would have taken him out. Like, I get it. You got to have the foresight, things of that nature. The game is over. Blase. I mean, yes, you could have gone out there with Xavier Hutchinson and Robert Woods and Steven Sims, but, you know, they wanted to give Davis Mills some work and at least help him try to get into the end zone, try to get the offense into the end zone.
Is
it worth it? No, but I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, yeah, he got hurt, but you got Stephon Diggs and you got Nico Collins. You'll be fine.
Would you rather have Tank or not have Tank, though? Because, like, it's kind of
the way they're using him right now, I mean, like, they're kind of using him like a gadget player anyway. So, like, they're not using him to the best of his abilities right now, in my honest opinion. So, being without him this week isn't going to affect much of the game plan.
No, I would agree with that. I think they're going to be fine without Tank. And I think they'll win this game, even though the Tank's not there. I think they're probably better suited for 12 personnel than 11 personnel right now, quite frankly, because of their offensive line. But it could have very easily been Laremy Tunsil. He was still out there. It could have very easily been Nico Collins, your high money receiver.
I think that's fair. I think, you know, I think it's a fair criticism, but I'm also not going to criticize the coach for keeping his guys in there and trying to, like, get, you know, a touchdown on the board. Like, I get both sides, but it's always hindsight when it comes to that.
I was saying it live and in the moment.
Well, I mean, how am I supposed to know that? I didn't know that you were saying that in the moment. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just saying, overall, though, like, it's a hindsight discussion for the most part, right? Like, when guys, it's usually discussed when people get hurt. But when people are still out there and nobody's hurt and everything's just going fine and it's just a blowout, nobody says anything. You know what I'm saying? So, for me, it's always a 20/20 hindsight, because it's not like people, for the most part, not saying that you don't, but sure, it's not for the most part, people are, like, pounding on it. Why it's actually going on in the moment, you know? So.
Okay. I mean, it's passion. If you guys want to keep going, that's fine. My question is one of the other glaring things coming out of the game was obviously the performance of the offensive line. Absolutely. We were talking about it on the show. It isn't even so much about the penalties, but we've heard from everybody. It's about the continuity. It's about getting better. We've heard we're fixing it. Who fixes it? How do they fix it? And is it fixable by this week?
I don't think it's fixable by this week. I think this is going to take some more time, more continuity between, cause I think, if my memory is serving correct, it's not like Kenyon Green and Juice actually haven't played that many games together in, like, NFL, like, regular season football at all. I think it's, what, their fourth game together? It's not like Juice played a lot last year. So, like, you have really two really, really young, inexperienced players on the interior, and, you know, they just have to, it's going to take, you know, some weeks before they can finally all get on one accord, because they're not blocking as five. They're kind of blocking as individual guys, because the chemistry and the continuity and just being able to pick up and block the right guy at the right time, there's a lot of times where you see Juice chasing blocks that he doesn't really need to chase when a guy crosses his face, but maybe if he felt like Kenyon Green was right next to him to pick up the guy that's trying to cross his face, maybe he'll feel more comfortable. But, you know, he's going to just take more reps, because it's very clear what teams are trying to do. Obviously, I think Bobby should throw curveballs at, you know, the opposing teams, and instead of trying to run your outside zone, just start running power. Because with teams just trying to slant in, if you go power, one player was telling me that if we go power, what makes it effective against when teams slant inward is we can wash them down and get them out the way, because everybody's going inward. It's kind of clunky. While you have, you know, Juice and Kenyon Green pushing them down, you have Shaq pulling around. Now you have a hole for the running backs to run through, you know, things of that nature, you know, run some more inside zones and things of that nature, maybe run some duo, just to, like, get teams to back off of that, and then you can get back to your outside zone stuff. So, you know, a lot of it does also start with Bobby, because you can't get it to where, like, you're just going to keep banging your head on the wall trying to, like, you know, implement what you want to do. Something you got to do is best for the team, and obviously right now running outside zone consistently and effectively isn't working for them.
I think quick passing game is important, too. Like, you see some of the things that works with them in the passing game. It's like, okay, if the offensive line's not going to protect, if they're going to have trouble with the stunts and the games like we were talking about last week, right, quick passing game. Kind of avoid that all, like, at all cost.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing is they're seeing a lot of stunts in the passing game when it comes to getting, you know, like, the stunts in the passing game, they're usually seeing it on third downs because CJ, you know, he has the second most dropbacks against third and long, like third and seven and longer, the second most behind Deshaun Watson. And I think CJ is able to, I think he's, like, his completion percentage is like 14 for 18 in those situations, but still, like, there's a reason why they're towards the back half of, like, teams that convert on third down. I think, like, they're, like, in the mid 20s or, like, high 20s, but still, like, you're way in the back, and that's because they have a lot of third
downs. Didn't I see, like, 7 of the 8 third downs against Minnesota were more than 8 yards?
Yeah. Because it was
tough. That's bad.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, like, that was, you just can't, it doesn't matter who you're playing. You could be playing, the Texans could be playing the 2000.
Defense.
I was going to say 2007 Detroit Lions.
Okay. That's worse.
Like, they're way back. Yeah, they're going to still have, like, the Detroit Lions will have a shot in that game, because it's just too hard to always convert third and long. It doesn't matter how good you are. It doesn't matter how good your quarterbacks are. And I think they're going to have to do a better job of getting into third and manageables. Because, you know, another thing, too, that I've noticed on the film outside of the stunts is that's why, you know, that's why I said earlier in the week, a lot of it's going to start with Bobby. Like, it starts with Bobby, because there's a lot of time where CJ is looking to where the progression is taking him. And it's muddy there and he tries to look back left or try to get to his check down. And that's usually a sign that the defensive coordinator, at least early on, is being able to have a read and a beat on your offensive coordinator. And then that's when the pressure can get to you. But again, like, it's a combination of a bunch of things, you know, even with, you know, it's a combination of both things. Like, there's one stat that's crazy. I don't think I tweeted it out, but out of all the quarterbacks, I think CJ is, in terms of time to pressure, so as fast as pressure gets to you, it's at 2.52 right now, which is like 7th fastest amongst all starters.
Sheesh.
You know what I'm saying? Like, sheesh. You know, so 2.5 is crazy. You know, like, that means by the time he gets to the top of his drop, like.
See, we're talking about. I actually thought he played well in the Minnesota game. Considering all that stuff, I thought he played well.
And we talk about, like, from snap to release and how quickly guys got to get rid of it. You have no time at all when you say it's 2.5.
Right. You're getting pressured at that point. You know what I'm saying? So, like. That can be all it takes is to, you know, possibly potentially affect the throw.
Mm-hmm.
And then, or you rush a throw, or like you're not able to get to that last guy. Or like, I remember there's one play where he looked right and then was trying to get all the way back to Cam. And Cam was wide open in the, at the end and going out of bounds to the left side. Cam was wide open and that could have been for a lot of yards. But again, like, the pressure is getting there so fast. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, I think that's what I said. Like, it starts with Bobby. Like, I know, like, you know, fans want to criticize the O-line and penalties and et cetera, but, and I think all that's fine. But I think it starts with Bobby coming up with better game plans.
We talked about it a little bit before we hit the air, but I saw you tweeting that Nico thankfully practiced. Joe was a limited participant. Nico says he's going to play. Joe?
It's questionable right now. Me, personally, I would hold him out this week and the same for the Buffalo Bills game. Because if you can't run the ball against the Bills, you have no shot. Sean McDermott, they, like, that's why, that's right now, it doesn't matter who they have in the back end, who they have at the linebackers. He's been there since, I believe, 2017. It's 2024. He's been there for, I mean, this is the 8th season. Like, there's a culture, there's a system there that they've been running for years. So, like you know, their system is, it's jam-packed. Like, they know what to do, things like that. They just put them to plug and play, and they play extremely fast. So, if you can't, if you're just dropping back all day, You're gonna be in hell. That's why, like, when they played Miami on Thursday night, right? The Dolphins couldn't run the ball. And Tua ends up throwing like 300, and Tua ends up throwing 3 interceptions because he was facing a lot of third and longs. And obviously, that one pick six, he couldn't get the ball out of, he couldn't throw it away completely out of bounds. But again, like, if you're living in third and longs against the Buffalo Bills, they will eat your lunch. Mm-hmm. That's one of those defenses that will completely eat your lunch. So I personally would save Joe for next week. Not saying, like, you know, I think you can win without Joe against the Jags. I don't think you can. I think your chances of winning against the Bills go drastically down if you don't have Joe. Because I think there were some runs against the Vikings that if they had Joe, he would have been able to turn a 1 yard or a 2 yarder into like maybe 4, maybe 5. You know what I'm saying? Like, it still would have been tough sledding, but I think he would have been able to power through some runs. Because that was one of those games where you kind of need a power back. And, like, yeah, Cam was able to have some, you know, some nice runs. He's able to use his elusiveness. But that's one of those games you had to kind of get north and south and get muddy, and, you know, because the defense was humming. So.
And you're looking at 3rd and 5 instead of 3rd and 7 there. So it goes back to the whole 3rd and long situation. Right. Even if it's only 2 more yards
that
for
matters,
the carry,
though.
It's 3rd and 5. Because, much easier to succeed than 3rd and 7.
Because defenses have to call – they have to call it differently at that point, right? Because if, like – if and then offenses can call it differently because it's 5 yards. That's like one – that's like – not one step, but like 2 steps. Right, so you can run. Your whole playbook is open. When it's 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, like, you know,
especially what would you say 2 point?
Yeah, 2.5 before toast. You get pressured. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just a completely different ball game. I mean, I think CJ right now, I think he's had 10 unblocked pressures this year, 4th most, 3 unblocked sacks. So, like, and a lot of them are just on 3rd downs.
That's crazy, DJ. Appreciate the time, man. Good information as always. Good conversation. We'll talk to you next week.
Absolutely.
DJ Bienemy covers the Houston Texans, ESPN, ESPN.com. You can check him out on Twitter at DJ Bienemy for all the latest Houston Texans news. Great follow. All right, Texans are 2-1. Why are so many people acting like they're worse? It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Blankers wants to know. The Texans are 2-1. Why are so many people acting like they're 0-3? 713-780-3776. Blankers, why do you think that this is the case?
Well, I think because at the start of the season, a lot of people looked at the Minnesota Vikings and they knew that they drafted a quarterback, that Sam Darnold has never been a good quarterback. And the expectation was that this was supposed to be an easy win. And I think people look past the fact that, as DJ said, that was a loud building. That is a home field advantage. They have good skill position players. Aaron Jones might be a little longer in the tooth, but he's good. You didn't know what Grenard was going to be. We saw what he could be when he was here. But overall, I think people were kind of looking past Minnesota. And then all of a sudden, it's like the sky is falling because you had a bad week. Look, we know even last year with the schedule that you had and the way that the season turned out, Texans had plenty of bad weeks, and we rattled off Atlanta and the Jets and Carolina and other games where they kind of laid an egg. But it just seems like people aren't considering the big picture. You're still 2-1. I mean, it's week three, but yet I just wasn't expecting this level of concern and this many people losing their mind. Maybe it's because they got blown out. And like the stat you mentioned, the fact that, you know, when teams win the Super Bowl, how many times do they get blown out by this many points? It just seems like it's been excessive. I get it to a certain degree, but a lot of people don't want to let go of it either. And that's why I think it's such an important game this week that they just get right.
Yeah, I don't really get the sense that people are acting like they're 0-3. I haven't gotten that sense. My sense of it's a little different than you. I also don't really care about the 2-1 a whole lot. Like, yeah, you are 2-1. It is what it is. But to me, it's more about your confidence in the team going forward. Like, that to me is how I feel. Like, we were talking about the Cowboys and the Giants earlier today. Like, Cowboys won a game. How do we feel about the Cowboys? How do we feel where the Giants are going? So to me, it's not so much about the record. Yeah, the record obviously matters, especially at the end of the year, because either you win the division, you're in the playoffs, you aren't in the playoffs. But this early in the year, it's more, where do we think this team is? Where do we think that they're going? And what is our confidence in them that they're getting to that point? So, like, at the start of the year, it's AFC South champions, it's playoffs. I had them at 10 wins. Brian had them at 17-0. So it's like, where is our confidence with them? And then how does that waver based on how the season is going? I was more confident, and I still think the Texans are going to win 10 games. I haven't wavered off my prediction from them. But I was more confident with the Texans at the start of the season than I am now because of their limitations on the offensive line. So to me, it isn't so much, oh, they're 2-1, but it feels like 0-3 and the sky is falling. It's more, I have serious questions about how good this team can be and how much can they reach their ceiling based on certain things that I don't love about what I saw.
Maybe it's the wording of that to say that a lot of people jumped off the contender title for this team because of last week. A lot of people started questioning whether this team was truly good enough to be a team that could win some playoff games and be a potential AFC championship game type team, or be better in the playoffs than they were a year ago, or live up to some of the billing that a lot of people had them in terms of where they saw them in the AFC, instead of like treating them like an 0-3 team. There were people that I had plenty of discussions with questioning, like, are you serious? Like, you're jumping off the bandwagon after 1 week and saying this team is not a Super Bowl contender. They're not an AFC contender. They're not, you know, nearly as good as we thought they could be. And I'm like,
I don't think that they are. Like, how they have played so far through three games, I don't think they're anywhere close to the best team in the NFL.
I don't think they're close to the best team in the NFL, but I think that there's a lot of space between the best team in the NFL and a playoff contending team that has the ability to go a long way. Still, this is week three, and you're right. There's things to clean up. There's things that have me concerned, even based on what I saw, because I saw a talented roster that I thought was talented enough to go at least as far as they went a year ago in the playoffs and possibly get to an AFC championship game. But I'm not jumping off the bandwagon or bringing my expectations down or the belief in this team after 1 week because of the fact that you haven't seen Autry on defense. But you have guys, Mixon's been out. You have, you know, different guys too that are going to help fortify. Now the line is obviously a big concern.
Yeah, see that, like, it's not 1 week. For me, it's how poor the offensive line's played for 3 weeks. Like, it's not about one game. They've been poor all three. It was just hidden a bit because they won the first two games versus winning the, you know, losing the Minnesota game. Whenever we do the do not ignore in victory, what you win in defeat, even though the Texans were 2-0. I was banging on the offensive line. I think the offensive line has been dreadful. I think that they've put bad ball on play, and that the way that they're playing right now limits the offense, and because it limits the offense, I think it limits the overall potential of the Texans. To your point, it is week three going into week four, and that stuff can be corrected. There is a lot of time to correct that, and well-coached teams will correct it. I would also say, because I believe the Texans' offensive line is actually really talented, that I'm not going to rule out it can be corrected. I'm not saying that it's going to be this bad all year long. I'm saying the way they're currently playing, they are not anywhere near the best team in the league. Can they get to that point by week 15? I think it's very much in play because they have a talented offensive line. I think they have to improve communication. I think what DJ was talking about with the continuity is vital. I think it's very important. You always hear offensive line has to play like one fist, not five individual fingers. Throw out the cliche. And they have to be coached up on it. So if they can get this offensive line playing to even just top half of the NFL, I think, again, I would feel really good about where they could be at the end of the year. But currently, right now, I just don't see it.
And the reason why I don't waver is similar to what you said, but also what he said when we were talking about Tank as well. Because right now, the way they're using Tank isn't closely anywhere close to what we thought they were going to do with Tank and using the talent of all three receivers. And he's been more of a gadget play type guy. But I would assume and I would hope that between now and the late stages of the season, that's going to change. He's going to get more reps. I'm with you in the fact that that's why I haven't wavered is I just believe there's too much talent on this team. I believe the offensive line, the negative is that you didn't have the injuries of a year ago and you didn't have going into the Pittsburgh game, CJ running for his life and leading the league in sacks.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you didn't have any injuries on the offensive line so far. So the line is what it is. It's going to be a combination of look at themselves in the mirror and then between coaching and themselves working at it in reps, figuring out how they get better as the unit to create that fist.
I think it's possible. Like, I think it's possible. I think, and they have the time to do it, but it has to happen. In week three games into the year, like how many teams are clicking on all cylinders? Very, very few. Like Kansas City is not really doing much offensively. Quite frankly, they didn't do a whole lot offensively last year, and then they turned it on in the postseason and then had one of the best defenses and then went on to win the Super Bowl. Like, I only think one team is playing like at a juggernaut level right now, and I think it's Buffalo. Okay. And I don't trust Josh Allen in the playoffs. So no team should be perfect through 3 weeks. Quite frankly, you probably don't want to be perfect at 3 weeks because you're peaking too early. But if the Texans do not fix this offensive line problem, they are toast. They still might make the playoffs. They still might win a bad division, but they're a wild card divisional round team at best.
Yeah, your division sets you up for the playoff berth that we were wondering if they were going to win the division or get in as a wild card based on the expectations of other teams in the division that have been less than. But at the same time, they have, again, a lot of teams are looking to go have to go outside of the organization to try and find solutions. I think the solutions lie within the building. I think that you have enough to fix it and be that caliber of team by just staying within your building. Because I don't think you have the season-ending injuries. I think you do have, between coaching and continuity, you have things that can be corrected on the practice field. You have guys that are coming back, like Autry, like Joe Mixon, and then however you're going to start using and utilizing talent differently. So that's why I'm not even close to changing the fact that I still believe this team is talented enough to go a long way. But I've had conversations, and I did see a lot of it that suddenly it was like the end of the world.
Yeah, I agree with you that they don't really need to add the pieces, and that's probably the good part. Mm-hmm. It's just coach them up, get the communication better. Obviously, you're going to get continuity is going to improve because they're going to be on the field. Knock on wood, they don't get hurt, like playing in blowout games late. But yeah, I do think that they have the people. I do think that they have the players. It's just you got to correct the issues that are going on, and they all know. Like they know that the offensive line has been keeping them back offensively. Bobby Sloak was kind of throwing his offensive line under the bus yesterday. They know it. They got to get better at it. All right, BZ Money. BZ Money's been killing it. We've been dominating. We've been winning a lot of money, $60. But we're in the black. We're in the black. We're going to continue to give you winners next. What are the killer bees putting their money behind this week? It is the bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, a word with the big weekend coming up of college and pro football, like we were just talking about, from mybookie.ag. Mybookie.ag is the place you want to be if you want to put money down on games that you're going to be watching or that you have a vested interest in or that you just feel like you know something about and you might want to cash in on, try and make a little extra change. Because that little extra change, you can make some before you even start betting. As long as you go to mybookie.ag, they got a sign-up bonus going on right now, where if you go to mybookie.ag and use our promo code BET975 when you sign up and put money into your account for the first time, They're going to put money on top of your money up to $1,000 based on what you put in. That money's going to show up instantly. That means it's going to be there for you to use. More money in your account means more games you can bet on, and of course you have more chances you can win. And they also have a loyalty program right now, MyBookie Plus. That means that based on how much you play with MyBookie.ag, you can climb tiers within the loyalty rewards program. With each tier that you climb to, you get better opportunities for better prizes, for better promotions, and lots of other ways that you can cash in. And when there's no games going on or there's something else that you want to do some casino gambling, and you don't feel like flying to Vegas, driving to Louisiana, all you got to do is get on your phone, your tablet, or your computer, go to mybookie.ag where live dealers are standing by so that you can play casino games like blackjack and poker. They take care of you. They've been in business for over a decade. That's why they want you to do business with them. Remember our promo code. Use it whenever you can and cash in immediately with the promo code BET975. As I always tell you to do, bet anything, anytime, anywhere with the only place I tell you to do it, mybookie.ag.
ESPN 97.5.
Innovation has always been the hallmark of Pro Dunk Basketball Goals. Their latest invention is a game changer. Jeremy Branham here. Pro Dunk Goals have been adjustable for years, allowing you to raise and lower the height of your goal, but now you can use their patent-pending lightning adjust feature to change the height 10 times faster. It's so easy and fun to do. Check out the new lightning adjust feature at ProDunk.com, the best basketball goals on the planet. ProDunk.com.
Do these guys have any idea what they're doing? Probably not. But that won't stop them from making picks. This is BZ Money.
Rejoin guy needs to get fired. He's about as accurate as a weatherman. We've been killing it. We've been killing it with BZ Money. Last week, the Bees went 4-2. Year to date, Bees are 9-6. Year to date, killer Bees have won $60. We do have the luxury of not playing the VIG. Brian's 5-1. Brian's been on fire. Brian, everything that Brian touches in September has turned to gold. Undefeated, and who said it?
Undefeated,
and he's 5-1
right.
In BZ Money. Branham's in second place, 3-3, and then dead last, sitting in the cellar at the very, very bottom, is Joel Blank.
Overselling it.
Yeah, why would he ever lighten up on something that's negative towards me?
Because Blankers is in dead last, we'll give him the opportunity to go first because we feel bad for him and his bad picks, although he's 2-3-1 and I'm 3-3. What's the first game you're selling to us, Blankers?
I'm selling Cincinnati at Carolina. I'm not buying it in 1 week that Carolina has completely turned it around with the Red Rocket Rifle. I believe that Cincinnati, as bad as their defense can be, their offense has been really, really good. Burrow and Chase are going to be fine, and I believe that Carolina at home getting 4.5 points isn't enough. I think Cincinnati needs to make a statement. I think that offensively they are going to make a statement. I think they cover the 4.5 at Carolina.
Where did Andy Dalton begin his career?
Cincinnati.
Revenge!
This is the Andy Dalton revenge game. I'm just kidding. I'm on your side. I think the Bengals roll in this. I think the Carolina and the Red Rocket were a good story for 1 week just to prove how bad Bryce Young is. Cincinnati's desperate. Carolina's not very good. Although I'm not sure the Bengals are very good, but they're better than Carolina. Even though it's a road game, the travel's not crazy. I like Cincinnati to cover the 4.5, too.
Yeah, the Panthers aren't going up against the Raiders this week, who are already calling their players out for making business decisions
in week 3. On the injury
in
report.
Week 3.
And a lot of guys on the injury report for the Raiders this week.
So, yeah, exactly. So more business decisions being made. So yeah, this is a step up in competition. I never love the needs it more because everyone needs it in the NFL. But in this case, I think it applies. The Bengals have to get a win or they're done. So I think they cruise. I would take the -4.5 too.
3338 says 9-6 would barely make the playoffs, killing it. LOL. If you bet $1 million on all of these games, you'd be up $60 million. What do you mean we're not killing it? Get a bigger bankroll, bro. All right, first game that I'm going to sell.
We got a place to wager.
I got distracted. The texture triggered me, and it took me off of my footing. We all picked it, right? $50 on the Joe Burrow, blonde headed Burrow.
40.
Softies.
Yeah, I'm soft at 40. I'm soft at 40 on this one.
All right, $40 on the Cincinnati Bengals. First game I want to sell to you guys. I didn't love these slates, by the way. And then let it be noted that I picked last, so y'all got to cherry pick all the good games. I took the Colts.
Be a gamer. Get in there early.
I'm taking the Colts over the Pittsburgh Steelers. Colts are getting a point and a half at home. Yeah, the Colts haven't played good football. Steelers haven't really beat anybody, though. I know that they're undefeated. I think they're getting the undefeated push, even though they haven't really beaten anybody good. I think the Colts win this football game outright. They're getting a point and a half. Give me the Colts to hand the Steelers their first loss of the year.
I'm with you that I didn't like many of these games. I don't like this one because two quarterbacks I don't believe can throw the football. And one thing I know is that Pittsburgh runs it, and Indianapolis isn't great at stopping it. So I was a little hesitant on this game overall. And the fact that I thought the Colts might be maybe not favored at home, but I thought I don't like the spread. I didn't like the game a whole lot. So I'll leave it up to you guys.
You see, you don't have a pick either way?
I think Pittsburgh, if I had to pick, I'd pick Pittsburgh.
That's kind of the way I'm leaving, too, because if there's one side of the ball in this game that I think could win the game, it's Pittsburgh's defense. And for that reason, I wouldn't bet it, but I think I would stay away.
Okay.
That's kind of my that's my lean.
You guys are going to be watching this game Sunday and be like, man, Branham knows ball.
Hear about it Monday at 3:01.
I'm sure everybody says all the time. Should listen to Branham.
All right, my first pick, we just talked about the Las Vegas Raiders are already mailing in it, seemingly, already making business decisions, ending up on the injury report. They're favored -2.5 at home against the Cleveland Browns. Wrong team is favored. I don't understand why Vegas is favored. They just got hammered by the Panthers. I know Deshaun Watson sucks. He's even worse than Andy Dalton, but the Browns defense is elite. I don't think Vegas is going to be able to do anything against the Browns defense. Wrong team favored. Cleveland wins outright.
Do we think Cleveland's defense is elite?
I don't think they're elite. But I think they got an elite pass rusher. They got some.
They're elite enough to shut down. They're elite enough to shut down Las Vegas.
Man. Davante Adams not playing. Although Brock Bowers is going to eat.
Davante Adams is out?
Not going to play.
Ugh. After he was the guy orchestrating what everybody had to do and how to do it.
I saw somebody on Twitter today said, you know how they list in parentheses like why they're out? It said Davante Adams doesn't want to be there anymore. Out for week 4.
I believe that. He had a lot to say.
No lies detected.
Yeah. I had Cleveland in this game too. Actually, I had the Raiders in this game. I had the Raiders winning by 3. The home game, I think the Browns are awful. I think Deshaun Watson's terrible. Personally, I stayed away from it altogether, but I think both of these teams are schizophrenic, and I don't like betting games in which two teams are schizophrenic.
Yeah, I don't like this because I don't like Cleveland's running game at all, and I don't like Deshaun Watson, and I think that Vegas has enough to I think, score some points against Cleveland. I didn't like it at all. If I leaned one way or the other, I guess.
You're the tiebreaker. You got to make the call.
I would lean Las Vegas. At home, I think that you're
going to
get.
Are you guys going to do to me week 1?
We didn't have great results doing that.
Okay.
And you've been
right.
Hot, so we kind of have to feed the hot hand. Like, we're role players, Blankers and I. We get rebounds. We pass the rock. We let you take all
Thank
the
you,
shots,
Otis.
Brian.
So Thank we're going to go to Cleveland?
I think we should just not play.
Okay.
I don't think we should flip
I'm
it on him because
that.
He's been better than we have been.
Yeah, that's fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If anything,
I didn't like the game either, but yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, they just no. Let's just no play it.
All right,
let's no play. I didn't bet a whole lot of games this week. I'm a degenerate. And usually play lots of games. I only played 4 games against the spread this week.
Yeah, there was a couple I was thinking about early, and then just doing a little bit more research. I'm like, I just can't. And even the game that I ended up picking, I'm curious how you guys feel about it.
What you got?
Second game I had was the Philadelphia at Tampa Bay kind of playoff rematch. I think Philadelphia's got a lot to prove. Yeah, they got to win against the Saints. I think they're too talented to not be way better. And I believe that Tampa Bay has overachieved the first couple weeks of the season. They're going to start coming back to reality. Tampa Bay at home is getting 2 points. I think Philadelphia wins this by at least a field goal. I'm leaning more like 6. I think the Eagles are going to make a statement at Tampa Bay and win the game.
Tampa Bay really confused me last week. I was feeling really good about Tampa Bay 2 weeks into the season. And then Tampa Bay last week confused me on who they are. I don't know in 2024 what a Buccaneer is. I just don't. They got hammered at home by Denver after beating Detroit the week before. After beating a pretty good Commander team the week before.
On the road, 17. No less.
Yeah. So I don't know. Washington was at home. Detroit was on the road.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tampa went on the road and beat a pretty good Washington team.
No, they played Washington home.
They beat Detroit in Detroit.
Okay, yeah,
Washington home at Detroit, but the better team they beat on the road. So I don't know what a Buccaneer is in 2024. I think the Buccaneers are a little confused in 2024, but I like the Philly side of this too. I don't feel uber confident about it because I think the Buccaneer at times can be really, really, really good, really, really good. Well, but I'll go Philly.
Yeah, I'm.
I
was going to stay away just because we already know Devonta Smith is out. A.J. Brown's a true game-time decision. And if both of them are out, I wouldn't bet on Philly, even especially as a favorite. So my vote is stay away, but it sounds like we're going Philadelphia minus 2.
Got to go
here.
Light on Philly? Because yeah, I went Philly, so we going 20?
Yeah, I think we should go light on 20. Like 20 or 25.
20 or 25, either one you call it.
25.
Let's go 25 then.
Go 25 on the Eagle.
Don't be
all
soft.
Right. Yeah, don't be soft. No soft boys around here. All right, second game I want to sell. Again, I don't love any of these games, so I'm already going to put a little bit of a ceiling on the cost of this one. I really like Sean McVay. I know the Rams have tons of injuries, but the Rams found a way to beat San Francisco, another team with tons of injuries. But the Rams are going on the road to Chicago. The Chicago young football team, I don't think they're well coached. Don't love rookie quarterbacks unless you're C.J. Stroud last year or Jaden Daniels this year. I think the Rams are better than Chicago. I think they're better coached than Chicago. I think the Rams are going to go into the Windy City. I got dumped for that once. I got to be careful saying city. I think the Rams are going to go into the Windy City. It might have even been Brian. The Rams are going to go into the Windy City, and they're going to win. And they're getting 3 points. Give me the Rams plus 3 over Chicago in the Windy City.
Yeah, I like the Rams in this game as well. I don't like the coaching staff. I don't like that Caleb Williams, no matter how many weapons he's had around him, they haven't been able to do nearly what people thought that they were going to do when they were the sexy pick to be a playoff team in the NFC. I think the Rams are well coached. I think they have a ton of talent. I think they have the better quarterback on the field for right now with Matt Stafford. I like the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams, I mean, it's hard to figure out where they're at because obviously their offensive line's banged up. They're without their top two wide receivers, but then they just beat the 49ers last week. So I don't love a team with a bad offensive line on the road facing a good defense. But minus 3 is pretty big, so I would agree with you guys on Rams plus the points.
25?
Yeah.
25.
I don't love this game.
No, there's not many to love in this bunch of games.
The Vegas starts to wisen up, though, around week 4. Like, you start to... I remember last year I didn't love many games after about this point of the year. They start to really wisen up. That's why we take advantage in the first 3 weeks. All right, what's your last game, Brian?
Another wrong team is favorite. Tennessee at Miami. Miami is a 1-point favorite. look, Will Levis sucks, but whatever Miami puts at quarterback, Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowler, is going to be even worse. I think Tennessee has got the better running game. I think they're going to be able to... We saw Zach Charbonnet. They? Well, Zach Charbonnet is a pretty mid running back.
Zach Charbonnet?
Yeah.
Doesn't play on either one of these football teams.
No, I know, but I'm talking about the Miami rush defense. So the Miami rush defense, they gave it up to James Cook a few weeks ago, got crushed by him. Zach Charbonnet is a pretty mid running back. They got crushed by him. I think Tony Pollard does a lot in this game. We saw DeAndre Hopkins finally wake up last week in the loss to Green Bay. And lost in the picture is they obviously should have won the game in Chicago, obviously, and Will Levis throws the horrible pick. And they're right in that game against the Jets to the very end. Again, another Will Levis terrible pick. The difference is I don't think Miami's defense is good enough to do to Will Levis what Chicago and the New York Jets did. And I think the Tennessee run game is able to move the ball quite well against Miami's run defense. So I will take Tennessee plus 1.
Brandon, you're going to decide this one because I see the exact opposite of this. I see the fact that I don't
bet on Tyler Huntley.
Yeah, because of the fact that Will Levis is going to do whatever you just said about all the different matchups. Will Levis is going to do whatever he can to turn the ball over, give it away, and not play well.
Bears defense, Jets defense, way greater sign than Miami defense, though.
Okay, but I believe too that you've got a really good offensive mind in McDaniel with a whole lot of weapons that he can still use in Miami and at home. This is a must-win for the Dolphins. I just like the Dolphins.
I love that you're going to put it on Jeremy to defend his boy, Will Levis.
Let me do my Will Levis impersonation. I'm going to hit that camera with this ball. I hit the camera. I have the Titans winning this game.
There you go.
The Dolphins, here's the thing. I'm not betting on Will Levis on the road. Like, this was a no play for me. Branham Analytics do have the Titans winning a low-scoring game, 20-17 over the Dolphins. I agree that the Titans will win this game. The Dolphins are a mess. The Dolphins are not very good. Although they are turning, like you said, I think, to a Pro Bowl quarterback.
Tyler Huntley.
This is a no play for me. I'm staying away. Staying away.
There you go.
I got faded twice today.
Yeah. Faded twice
Welcome
today.
To my world.
We played both of your games, dude.
No, last week. But in the first couple weeks, we didn't.
We played both the games for last place and faded the two for first place.
That's been great. I understand it.
All right, so the Killer Bees have played three games this week. 4-2 last week, 9-6 on the year, up $60. If you were betting, you know, million-dollar units, you would be a multimillionaire following our picks. We're on the Rams -3 for 25, Eagles -2 for 25, and then Cincy -4.5 for 40 doll hairs. All right, when we come back, Mean Text, our car wreck of the day every Friday. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. In about 24 hours, we've got a big one at TDECU Stadium. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock, 18th-ranked, undefeated Iowa State comes into Houston as the Cougars look for the upset in their Big 12 home opener. Houston has a deal for you tomorrow night. It's not too late to get in on this. The Family Night Special. You're looking for entertainment for you and the family? That's always hard to do, especially if you're on a budget. Well, U of H has got you. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks for just $80. Where else can you get that kind of entertainment, family entertainment, for just $80? Lock in the deal at uhcougars.com/tickets or 713-GO-COUGS. Not only is it family weekend, but it's also Hispanic Heritage Games. A lot of fun out of the stadium tomorrow night. Come out and celebrate on campus as the Cougs host the undefeated 18th-ranked Cyclones. First ever matchup, by the way, on the gridiron between these two teams. Kickoff at 6. Weather's going to be unbelievable tomorrow night. Come out early. Cougar Walk beginning at 3:30. Plus, they're expanding the Bud Light Backyard Beer Garden, which now features food, drinks, tailgate games. Come on. Hang out before the game. Night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, unforgettable moments, and the weather's going to be impeccable. $80 takes care of a family of four with the Family Night Special. Four tickets, four hot dogs, four drinks, just $80. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get that Family Night Special. Come early, be loud, and wear red.
You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brandt.
Brian didn't play the Astros starter music. When your day is
long. Did you get the Astros play today? Because I know what day it is.
Renel Blanco Day. Blanco. What does Renel Blanco do for the Astros tonight?
He pitches 5 innings, and he gives up 1 run.
Will you watch the Astros this weekend?
I will glance at them.
I'll watch the condensed games.
I'm going to record them and then
fast forward through it. I'll watch them whenever football's over. I think Blanco throws 65 pitches today. I think they want him available for next Tuesday, just in case.
Yeah.
Just in case. Like, what if it's a tie game? You use all your leverage guys. It's the 11th inning. I think they would like to turn to Renel Blanco in that spot. So I don't think that they're going to go Renel Blanco too long today. And however much he'll go is the maximum amount for him to be available on Tuesday.
Part of the reason they moved him from Saturday to Friday as well.
Absolutely.
Yeah, 5's too much. Probably more in the range.
Well, if he goes 65 pitches in 5, I think it's possible.
You know, he likes to throw a lot of pitches.
He does.
Yeah, I'm Might thinking be three, innings. Three and a half, four.
Yeah. Might be 3 innings. Yeah, I'll take that for Renel. Just get out healthy. Get out healthy. Get out where you're available next Tuesday. Okay, let's get it to our mean text, all the mean things that you've said to us the last couple of weeks. Branham thinks he's right about everything. Bro is a bad word. Very punchable face and voice, too. I am most of those things. I'll agree with that. But I am usually right about
it. You're a bad word?
The bad word he used, I think, is fair.
Okay, all right.
I think the bad word he used is fair. I don't think that he was talking too much out of line. Yeah, I think it was a mostly accurate text.
You've heard it before.
I think it was a mostly, not even the worst I've heard. Not even the worst I've heard. I'd be okay with losing Tunsil. He cost us when he's on the field anyways. People were so mad at Laramie Tunsil that they were okay if he would get hurt in that game the other day.
It's a bit much.
Right?
Yeah. A little bit much.
A little bit of cutting off your nose to spite your face a little bit.
Don't we think so?
Yeah. You need Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil is one of the best left tackles in football post snap.
Who are you replacing him with where you're going to have a better chance
Blake Fisher to protect?
No. He plays right tackle, doesn't he?
He's more of a left tackle, but I think he will be moved to right tackle. He's played both. He's a swing tackle. Like, if either tackle got hurt, Blake Fisher would be the guy that replaces him. Branham, please stop with the football! You're coming dangerously close to sounding like the untalented Paul Gallant. He's a clown.
Oh, man, I didn't see that finish.
Was that more insulting to me or Paul?
I would say the latter. Yeah.
I don't think Paul's
our beloved Coop.
I was going to say he's not a clown, but then you played that. It's like, eh.
He can be clowny.
Maybe he's got a
he
point.
He likes to clown around.
Makes sense. Killer bees acting like B-words. Is that fair?
You have to be more specific.
Yeah, take after the Twitch.
You have to be way more specific. What were we being B-words about?
Yeah, what was that in reference to?
I don't remember. I need to start putting the context here. I mean, the killer bees kind of call us that. They call us the angry bees. It's kind of the same thing. Kind of the same thing. But they say we complain a lot.
We talk a lot of baseball, complaining, too, which Paul hates.
Complaining a lot is more like the B word than angry bees. But they say we complain a lot. So us complaining, I think, is synonymous with acting like B words.
Sure.
So, I mean, maybe the killer G's texted that end of the show.
It's quite possible.
I like that conspiracy
plot
theory.
Plot twist. Chaz McCormick follows the same diet, except he eats 2,500 calories multiple times per day. It was a fat joke.
Hmm.
It was a fat joke.
With the banana pudding.
Yeah, they said he's fat. Because it was the Derrick Henry thing.
We were talking about he doesn't eat till after 5.
I think it's called the gladiator diet.
Should be called the titan.
Not bad. Someone called me a wuss. That's just where I crossed the line. That's just where you crossed the line. You can say all these things about me. The moment you call me a wuss, you've gone too far. And I'm not a wuss.
You gonna meet him on the playground after school?
I'm not a wuss. What's that?
You gonna meet him on the playground after school?
I'll show you I'm not a wuss. What'd you say?
They didn't play soft.
Well, they know I'm not.
So it's the difference between soft and wuss.
Yeah, they were wrong calling me a wuss. I'm not a wuss.
You're pretty soft.
I'm tough.
How long did you play football?
What's that?
How long did you play football?
My parents didn't let me play tackle football.
Yeah.
I played flag football. I had a pick six.
Soft.
Against Josh Warren. Maybe C.J. Stroud should go back and listen to the advice he gave Caleb Williams. That one got me, because there was that whole dynamic. Is Stroud good enough, old enough to be giving advice to Caleb Williams? Sam Darnold's giving him advice.
Yes, a lot of people were on that on Twitch after the game, on Twitter, of the guy, Sam Darnold, running to give C.J. advice in the handshake.
So funny. I think Laramie is just a narcissistic bad word. That's all it is. Hopefully Sunday was a much-needed kick in the teeth, like when a schoolyard bully, me, like to that guy who called me a wuss, finally gets popped in the mouth, and it changes his perspective on bad word. Cash or trash, Joel can't do a whole segment without saying the word fact.
Fact.
There you go. That does it for mean text. All right. It's going to do it for us. Hope that you all have a great weekend. Brian, good job doing the hard work. Hey, hot September. Hot September. Hope October is as good for you as September was. He's Blank. I'm Branham. Coming up next, Hall of Fame. That's Brad Gilmore and then the Jabroni Booker T Comicast coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll talk to all of you on Monday. Good night, y'all.
ESPN 97.5.